Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Bob Bigley. It's Monday, April 29th. NASCAR was in action at the Action Track this weekend. Richmond International Raceway, and I was there. Anybody that been checking out on the updates, got some pictures posted up from the track and was able to catch up with a few of our past guests and caught up with some friends out at the Speedway and also got some of the got the press conferences on Saturday night with Kevin Harvick, Richard Childress, Gil Martin, and second and third place finishers Joey Logano and Clint Bowyer, which happened to be probably the most fun part of the press conferences of the night. There was no nut kicking going on, as happened Friday night after the Nationwide Series race, where two of the RCR crew members were arrested for assault, and it was one of those things that happened, and of course, was due after with an on-track incident between Brian Scott and Nelson Piquet Jr. Also on Sunday, it was Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, and the Mass Humanity on that wild and crazy finish after a yellow flag came out with about six laps to go. Juan Pablo Montoya was actually leading Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch trying to close out the deal for his first oval track win. But poor Juan Pablo has all the luck on that. The caution came out, and everything got set the stage for a wild finish at the end there with Kevin Harvick taking home his first Sprint Cup win of the year. And Clint Bowyer coming home second. Joey Logano was third. And the melee that broke out behind them upset Tony Stewart, but then again, doesn't take much. He declined to comment on the incident. Kurt Busch, we all know, if you've caught the highlights, had plenty to say. And, you know, you got to agree with Kurt Busch on that one. It was a free-for-all. Everybody was going which way, trying to find whatever hole they can to gain as much ground as they can to finish that for the best finish of that race. But all said and done, we'll get back to that. So, I got a whole bunch of tape that we got to. Want to get ahead and we have on Saturday, on Friday actually, prior to the Nationwide race, I was able to catch up with Johanna Long, former, you know, past guest of the show. Another past guest of the show, Jeffrey Earnhardt, and I guess my first ever interview with the Little Gator, Justin Allgaier. So I might as well kick this off, and we'll start off the first one, and I was able to catch up with Johanna Long.
Driver 31 Branch Chevrolet, Justin, the Little Gator Allgaier. How's it going there? It looks like you scuffed it up a little bit. Is it helping the aero on it?
Well, of course I scuffed it up.
Let me back that up a little bit. It was supposed to be, here we go. Now we got Johanna's lined up, and see if I can bring a little more volume to this one here. So, for your listening pleasure, we have a driver of the number 70 ML Motorsports Chevrolet, Johanna Long.
This is Vince Bonfigli. We're sitting here with driver of the number 70 ML Motorsports Chevy Camaro and frequent guest on Garage Talk Live, Johanna Long. Johanna, it's good to see you. Live and in person, Richmond being a track you ran well at last time before you blew a tire and hit the wall. How are we running today with the getting ready?
Oh, we definitely came a long way. You know, these guys never give up and struggled a little bit at first practice, but I feel like we have a good piece now. And we're just going to work through all the race, and track position is going to be everything here, I think, because there's so many guys that run the same speed, so hopefully we can get a good starting spot and stay up front.
Do you know where you draw for qualifying yet, or is it just a matter of waiting it out?
I don't really know where I go out right now. I'm probably closer to the front. But I think it's fine. It's going to be hot for everybody, so I don't really think it's really going to matter too much.
What things that you had, they said you had to work on some stuff and probably have to work on through the race. Was it running tight or loose?
It's a little tight right now off, but I feel like it's going to free up through the race. So hopefully the handling issues will come to me towards the race. But, you know, there's always different things that happen during the race that you're definitely going to have to work on.
That's for sure. So, you know, being the prize qualifying, would you have anything scheduled during the downtime later on today before you between qualifying and the race?
Yeah, a couple of appearances. I'm definitely going to do the Chevy display here at 2:30, so I'm looking forward to that. It's always fun hanging out with those guys. You know, Chevy does an awesome job, and, you know, especially driving the Camaro this year, it's really neat.
How do you like the difference between the Camaro and the old Impala?
It looks really good. I really like the nose of the car. It drives the same, but it definitely looks a lot better.
That's for sure. At least at least that's the only thing new for the car this year. Instead of like the Cup side had to come out with another internal style of Gen 6, and with the Camaro, at least it's just just sheet metal, so the underpinnings are all the same.
Yeah, everything's pretty much the same. You know, like I said, Chevy does an awesome job telling us what we need to do, and we just got to keep going forward. You know, we ran really well last year at different places, and it's just about capitalizing and bettering ourselves every race that we go to. And we struggled a little bit at the beginning of the year, but a lot of things happened that was under our control. We just got to get our momentum back. We left at Homestead last year, and we'll be fine.
Well, I saw you were running good at Daytona, and you were running Phoenix. I guess you really didn't have a chance at that little incident with Sam. And but, you know, just, like you've always said before, you're in that learning mode, and that's one of the things, I guess, you chalk up for experience.
Yeah, it's all about experience. You know, I'll take full blame for Phoenix. You know, I didn't mean to do that, but, you know, you move on. You have races like that. You have to go through the bad before you can go through the good. And, you know, we ran well at Texas and Vegas, and hopefully for a good run here.
That sounds good. Then we'll let you get back to doing your stuff. Thanks for taking time with me today, and good luck tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
That was Johanna Long prior to the race on Saturday night. She qualified 13th, which was pretty good. Wound up with a 15th place finish. And so she held steady pretty much her own. Did finish on the lead lap. And, you know, the thing after Phoenix is she had Vegas and Texas, and they had a little bit of downtime, so they didn't run Martinsville. It was a truck series there, and she had a couple races off, and, you know, back in the saddle, and she gets to keep the rest of the season building on this. We'll check in with her a little bit later on in the year. Don't like to run out of things to say, so by the time I get back to her, we'll have a few other things to talk about. She's always great to come on the show, and whenever we've asked. I mean, I tried to get her a little while back, but her schedule's on Monday sometimes. Don't mess up with the show here, so rather than that, we have got her live at the track. I guess the next person to catch up with is Jeffrey Earnhardt, who went from driving for Rick Ware Racing, earned a spot in the number 5 Junior Motorsports Chevy for his Uncle Dale Jr. And I guess after a long, hard road, and they decided to put a family member in the car. And it might well work out well in the long run for Jeffrey. And and it seems to be a good starting point for him. So let's get back out and catch up with Jeffrey Earnhardt.
With driver of the number 5 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports, Jeffrey Earnhardt. Jeff, how's it feel to be actually in your uncle's car, so to speak?
Oh, that's good, you know, to be with such a good team and have such a well-prepped car is a good feeling. Now it's just all left up to me, I guess. I got the car now, I just got to go do my part and drive it.
How was it running during practice? I know it's the final practice. You had about 2.5 hours. Did they get it all figured out for qualifying?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. We tightened the car up a little too much there on our mock run, and it showed we were slow. So we didn't really get to lay down a fast time, but we were a real good race trim, which is the main thing here. So I think we'll be a good race trim. We'll make some adjustments for qualifying and hopefully be able to lay down a pretty decent lap, get a good starting spot, and go from there.
Have you been doing any kickboxing or UFC recently, or just that one event?
No, I haven't. Been too busy racing, you know. It's hard to balance both of them, but, you know, that was a good learning experience for me and a lot of fun. And, you know, if I ever get the time, I'd definitely do another fight, but right now just so busy with this, you know, racing, trying to find sponsors and all that, don't really have much time for.
I know Kevin Harvick's been hanging around with the UFC guy. Who knows, maybe you have a charity event or something, you too.
Yeah, that'd be a good time, you know. It's funny, you see, after doing the fight, a lot of these guys go in there and they do the training, but it's a whole other deal when you actually step in the cage to fight. It's you find out how much of a fan you really are.
I was telling my wife, I said, if he tried to tackle with Jeffrey kick his ass.
Yeah, you know, as I said, it's a lot different when you actually step in there and fight. You know, you wouldn't go in there and roll around, learn moves and stuff, but to go in there and actually participate in a fight is a whole nother deal, you know. So, I don't know, Kevin's a pretty tough guy. I know he was a good wrestler, so that'd probably be a pretty good fight, but I don't think it's anything I couldn't handle.
Well, I think just keep moving and thanks for a little bit of your time and good luck tonight in the race.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it.
I had to touch on that on the UFC fighting because Jeffrey did enter the ring and we promoted it here and you know, we had him on prior to that and with Kevin Harvick had. The UFC champion with him a couple weeks ago. Say, hey, what the hell, maybe we get a charity match going. But Jeffrey started 22nd and wound up with a 17th place finish. So not bad for two of my guests prior to the race. Running decent, both again finishing on the lead lap. And it just goes to show that, you know, he's in the first stop in a decent car, and instead of running at the back where he has a chance of getting into potential wrecks, he ran closer to the front, finishing in the middle, and it's more of another growing experience for Jeffrey. And now that he's getting used to some quality equipment, the next race out ought to be an even better one. So. Hopefully, Dale Jr. keeps him in the car and can watch him grow. I mean, he's grown enough talent for everybody else, like Brad Keselowski came up nationwide series with 2 years with Jr., and then Roger Penske snatched him up for the cup ride, and we all saw what happened there. He won a nationwide title for Penske, and then he's the defending Sprint Cup champion, so... Danica Patrick was the next available talent, and she probably could have used another year of seasoning, had some better finishes in the Nationwide Series. Now she is running for Mr. Stewart, and we all know her accomplishments with sitting on the pole for the Daytona 500 and finished eighth
setting a standard for women in the sport, and she hasn't had much luck ever since then, but I think Stuart Haas as a whole hasn't been doing all that well, and I think it all culminated with frustration on Saturday night after the race between Smoke and Bush, and he's got a lot more things to worry about than a little beating and banging for a spot or two than the way the team's going. I know they think they were talking in the booth about being a bit of an engineering problem. They might need to work on something on the cars. Just figure first year as a team owner, he won the championship on a tie, you know, on tiebreakers versus Carl Edwards, but he did it. Last year, you know, things started to, he had another shot at it, but didn't have what it took to finish it. And this year, it seems to be that he's not having the quality runs that he needs to be to get him into the a serious contender for the championship. He might make the chase to check the points. Check them real quick and see where he's at in the standings right now. He's not even in the top 10. He's all the way down in 22nd place. So that's not where you're used to seeing Tony Stewart run. Newman 16th. He's still not, and he's not a contender. And of course, Danica is further down the list, being her rookie season 26. So she's not too far. She's at 174 points. Stewart's at 136, so she's 30-some points behind him, and we'll get some more on that in a little bit. Okay, my next interview up was with the Little Gator. I was looking for him and Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson apparently wasn't feeling too well, so we weren't able to connect with him because they both drive for Turner Scott Motorsports, and when I was in trying to schedule this prior to going to Richmond with the PR people, that we were going to be able to do both. I was going to do Justin. We had it penned down, the first interview in Justin, and then going over to the 32 hauler to get Kyle Larson. And but he wasn't feeling so good. Maybe he doesn't know the luck of the Garage Talk Live. But anyway, but that's only if they call in the show. For some reason, when I interview them live, they don't always have the same luck. But that's okay. I like to be able to interview these guys and present it to you all. So right now, I'll talk to Justin Allgaier.
This is Vince Bonfigli, Garage Talk Live. We're sitting here with driver of the number 31 Branch Chevrolet, Justin the Little Gator Allgaier. How's it going there? It looks like you scuffed it up a little bit. Is it helping the aero on it?
Well, unfortunately, I did scuff it up in practice earlier, but it's going good. We had a really fast Brandt Camaro practice earlier, and it was good all day yesterday. So at least we were able to go home over the night, and the guys did a good job of making it a little bit better and just as good today.
That's good to hear. That's why you'd be competitive out there. I guess a strange season. You got a lot of run, you know, going for a championship run, and it seems to be you're getting tight with you and Sam and the guys there. How's that battle shaping up for you?
Well, it's actually shaping up really well. You know, we held second place in points for a little while, and then we unfortunately lost it. We dropped back to fourth, but some events happened last race, and Sam Horner just got into an accident and kind of closed it all up, and I would say there's about five or six of us within 10 points. So really, really, really close, and obviously, you know, Sam's been one of the best cars every racetrack we've gone to. You know, you got Regan Smith up there, you've got Austin Dillon up there, myself, Brian Scott, got a lot of good guys that have done a good job this year of getting good finishes. So, you know, we need to come out of here, Richmond, with a good finish. And if we can do that, you know, gain hopefully some points back, and everything should be good.
How do you like this little three-quarter miler?
You know, Richmond's an awesome racetrack. It truly is a driver's track. You've got to go out there, and you have to attack the racetrack, obviously, to make fast laps. But you have to be patient at the same time. It's one of those places that is not easy to drive, and you can get yourself in trouble in a hurry here. So one of the things we worked on was just comfort and drivability, making sure that the car drove comfortably and just make sure that it did all the things we needed it to do in the middle of the day, which obviously is going to change tonight when we go to the race. But, you know, it was definitely a good practice, and we learned a lot.
You think you would have been better off I know you had a practice yesterday, but you think better off to practice at night to get that final tune-up instead of right before you go out and qualify, when you know things are going to be different?
Well, I think that's one of the things NASCAR likes about us practicing during the day and racing at night. Adds a little excitement, not only for the teams and the drivers, but for the fans. So, you know, I think that was one part of it. But you know, yesterday was a big day for NASCAR and for Richmond. You know, they had the Cannon race last night, which was an amazing race. It was awesome action. And then they had the Denny Hamlin charity race last night for the Denny Hamlin Foundation. So that was cool to watch both of those and to kind of get an idea as to what the track was going to do during the nighttime, but then come back today and practice a little bit more today and you know, get used to the hot and slick, because it seems like if your car handles well in the hot and slick, it typically always handles well at night. So hopefully we can have that and our car will handle good tonight.
Last night was the full moon. Tonight, not so full. You still think the wolves going to be out tonight?
I don't know, but I heard last night was a pink moon as well. So I didn't get to see it. I was pretty bummed. I saw it, and I was going to look for it, then I guess I missed it. So kind of bummed about that. But definitely it was cool to see the full moon, you know, over the back straightaway there, the racetrack, you know, for the feature. But, you know, I think it's going to be I don't know that it's full moon or not, if tempers flare any more or less here. I think it's just a matter of the racetrack, no matter what night it is.
As things cool down, you expect the cars tighten up a little bit or loosen up a little bit? Because it seems to be conflicting depending on the tracks you go to.
Yeah, you know, this racetrack, typically you get looser in and looser off, and you get tighter in the middle as the sun goes down. So we're hoping that our car reacts the way we want it to, and we don't have that problem. But, you know, it's something that, you know, even though you're fighting it, everybody else is fighting it as well. So you just hopefully you guess the best, and you got the best race car underneath of you.
Well, Justin, I'd like to thank you for taking some time out of your day, and wish you a lot of luck at the race tonight.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
They have it, Justin Allgaier. He didn't have such a good day of his counterparts. He wound up... Where did I see it? 22nd? No. Went up 31st, his car number. Started 11th, so he had a decent qualifying run. And I know that all three of my guests that I interviewed qualified 11th, 13th, and Jeffrey qualified the worst, but he had the second best finish of the night. Johanna was qualified 13th, finished 15th. So out of all three of those, Johanna claimed bragging rights out of Richmond as part of my contingent of interviews there. And Brad Keselowski did wind up winning the race. Of course, he was battling Kevin Harvick towards the end there. It seemed that Harvick has a like an affinity for Richmond. Kyle Busch also runs well there. He came in third. Brian Vickers came in fourth. Regan Smith came in fifth. Elliott Sadler came in sixth. Sam Hornish still maintaining that points lead, seventh. Kyle Larson, who I didn't get a chance to interview, finished eighth. Maybe it's a good thing. And ninth was the number 60 of Travis Pastrana. Is it me, or is that a wild paint job he's got on that car? Because I tell you, you can't miss it. Kind of reminds me of the NHRA and the Nitro Fish colors, all those bright
almost neon-esque color scheme there. He was then rounding out the top 10 was Reed Sorensen. So Parker Kligerman, 11th, 12th was Trevor Bayne. 13th was Mike Bliss. Nelson Piquet Jr. was 14th, and again, Johanna Long was a good run for her, 15th. A little, like I said before, the incident between Piquet Jr. and Brian Scott escalated to an off-track altercation where somebody got kicked in the cojones. Police were called and involved, and I was surprised both guys that were arrested were from RCR. I figured, if anything, it would have been one from RCR and one from PK's team. But wasn't the case. So they were charged with assault, war investigations and all that. I was catching all the news feeds. And I'm sure that's the big thing with the... as an afterthought is the only wild stuff pretty much that carried on a little too long between Scott and PK. Probably continued bumping afterwards, and you know what happens there. The race win by Keselowski was his 21st nationwide series victory. Time of the race took 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 18 seconds with an average speed of 83.7 miles an hour, and margin of victory of 0.71 seconds. There were there were 11 lead changers amongst 5 leaders. Harvick leading the most laps, coming up a little short on that end. He led 96 laps. Hornish was second with 83 laps. Keselowski was third with 22 laps. I mean, with 35 laps led, and then Kyle Busch and Elliott Sadler each led 18 laps apiece. Sam Hornish was the one who led from the get-go, and then everything started changing after that. Sam led the first 83 laps because he only led one time. And I think once pit stop started, changed things in yellows. There were 8 cautions for 57 laps. A red flag on lap 34 for a lot of fluid from the 92 car slamming the wall pretty hard. 5 minute, 14 second red flag there. A lot of mess to clean up, but I guess rather than chop laps off the race, they just parked them for a bit and cleaned it all off. Of all the cautions, there were none for debris for once. It was a few accidents, a couple spin outs, and fluids. So so it didn't affect the too much. The final caution came on lap 236, only lasted 2 laps before they got back to action for the running the 250-lap race of the Toyota Care 250. So Brad Keselowski did win the pole, and the rookie of the race was Kyle Larson, and he was also a Mobil 1 driver of the race. So he's coming pretty good. Watch out for this kid. Had a couple of rough early races, but he's starting to come on strong. Points right now, Sam Hornish still holding the top spot. He's got a 1-point lead over Reagan Smith. Brian Scott is 23 back. Justin Allgaier lost some points. He was still in fourth, but now he's 34 back. And when we interviewed him, he said there were 4 within 10 points of each other. That was all last week. Sadler, 35 back. Vickers, 37. Austin Dillon, 37 back. Parker Kligerman in eighth is 40 back. Ninth, Trevor Bayne, 46 back. Kyle Larson rounds out the top 10, and he's 55 back. He keeps getting those good finishes and catches a break with some of the people ahead of him, who knows, he might wind up in the thick of things. So you got to watch out for him. But he's still a rookie. And what can you say? Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick. This race here was the 12th time a driver has driven the victory from the pole on the Nationwide Series at Richmond. So it's a good place if you're on the pole if you want to win the race. It's a nice track. I always liked it. It's my second time being there. First time I sat in the stands and going into turn three to see my first race there, and now I was actually able to cover it. I'd like to give a shout out to last week's guest, Dennis Bickmeyer, and president of Richmond International Raceway for coming, and also communications director Amy Turner. I finally got to meet her in person, and funny story there. I come up to the track not knowing where to go. So I'm looking at the gates. So I pull up to the one gate, and I see two ladies walking out of the gate. So as they're getting closer to me, because I'm parked up behind a vehicle that apparently they were headed to, I poked my head out the window, and there was Amy Turner. And I go, Amy? She goes, yeah. I said, it's Vince. And I didn't even have to say from Garage Talk Live. She goes, oh, cool. I said, so thank God I found you. I don't know where I'm going. So the missus and I, who was my assistant taking the pictures you saw, considering she didn't have a photo credential to where she can get tight in some of the shots, so I think she did a pretty good job. I can't complain. From there, so we wound up following her to get our credentials, and then into the track we went. And from there, on to get the interviews that you just heard, and have fun watching a Nationwide Series race on the Axe track. Coming up next, have the post-race press conference, so might as well do my wrap-up of the Sprint Cup race. Before we get into that, that's where we got something to get into. It was a race that was pretty much it was dominated by Clint Bowyer for most of the race, leading two times for 113 laps. And Matt Kenseth was the other big leader. Kenseth had won the pole and was, of course, led most of the race, usually until the first pit stop or two. It doesn't have the same pit crew he had when he was with Roush, but they seem to have turned things around there. I was watching pit stops, and they were pretty much in the low 13s, high 12s second range. And it gets to be comical, I guess, that because they're changing these tires and putting gas in it so fast. I think the fact that if they don't have to put gas in it, your pit time decreases substantially, especially if you're running up on your window there and you're getting kind of low on fuel. Those extra seconds to pack the car full of fuel is what takes a little bit more time. So then it turned out to be Kyle Busch led some laps there, and it started out, it looked like it was going to be Kurt Busch, Kyle Busch, Juan Montoya, and Kevin Harvick were all up front, and they were all racing real hard. Kurt Busch seemed to get a good jump on the restarts. He did hold the lead for a while, which enabled him to get some jumps on the restarts. And then I think one time he got out a little bit later than one pit stop than Montoya. And Montoya was able to lead all the way up through a couple of cautions, getting out of the pits first, and then when the flag go green, he get the jump on the restart, was able to pull away a bit from Kenseth and Clint and Harvick and Kurt, and got to be the point where they were running each other down, and it looked like it was Juan Montoya first, Kurt Busch was running second, and Harvick was running third. Harvick was able to get around Kurt Busch and pass him, so then it stayed like that for a while, and then as you're watching Harvick slowly gain on Montoya, the time is winding down. With six laps to go, you get that final caution. Turned out to be what was going to be a 400-lap race. The yellow came out at lap 396 with four laps to go for an accident for the 11 car. Brian Vickers cut a tire and slammed the outside wall. And I thought, to bring out the caution, I thought prior to that it was going to be Jimmy Johnson bringing out the caution because he had his back bumper flapping in the breeze there. I was waiting for that to blow off to bring out the yellow, but that never did. And then when Vickers hit the wall, that kind of set the stage for your pit race strategy. Three guys stayed out. Jeff Burton was one. I think Edwards was another, and I can't remember who the third one was because they wound up getting shuffled so far back at the time. But they lined up first. Kevin Harvick was like the first one on the inside. Then it was, I guess, Clint Bowyer and Joey Logano were inside. Montoya was next to Harvick on the outside, so he had a hope for a hole to open up so he can go through, but it seemed to be that Harvick was able to get to jump off the restart, cut low, and start passing everybody in front of him, and Clint Bowyer and Joey Logano followed suit, and Juan Montoya was pegged. Otherwise, he was hoping that he would have been able to get through, but he managed to hold on for fourth, so he had Harvick beating Bowyer to the line. Logano third, Juan Pablo Montoya fourth. Jeff Burton was fifth, Carl Edwards sixth. Kenseth was seventh, eighth was Eric Amarola. Kurt Busch hung on for a ninth place finish after that scuffle between him and Tony Stewart, and it was Paul Menard, I think, were trading some paint, all three stacked up in there. Stewart getting a little bit out of shape with Kurt. We all know how that went. Then Stewart wound up finishing in 18th. And that's what we happened there. So, of course, after the race, we have the winner, second and third place finishers. So first they bring in the second and third place finishers, and then they bring in the winner. The time of the race was 3 hours, 18 minutes, and 17 seconds, with an average speed of 92.14 miles an hour. Margin of victory was 0.343 seconds, 11 cautions for 75 laps, 10 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. And and that's the shakedown of the race. So let's go to the tail of the tape. I'm going to start off with Clint Bowyer and Joey Logano, the second and third place finishers, and they seem to have some fun coming in there. So it's let's listen to Joey and Clint. They were having fun with everybody in there, and they turned it over to media. I was able to ask a question, and we'll get their answer as well. So here are Clint Boyer and Joey Logano.
We have the owner's 400 here at Richmond International Raceway. We welcome Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 29 Bell Helicopter Chevrolet. The win.
There I go again. I forget to rewind this thing to track one. There we go.
Clint, we'll start with you. Great run for you guys tonight. Won here in the fall. Come back to finish second tonight. Talk a little bit about your race and the finish.
Yeah, solid weekend for us. You know, I want to thank Toyota for coming on board. I really want to win a Toyota race for them, but come up a little short. But again, solid weekend. We just were too tight, you know, on the throttle. The thing had a tremendous amount of drive in it, and we couldn't get, you know, it seemed like I couldn't get the car to turn and rotate on the throttle, you know, quite good enough. But, man, just lucky enough to be on the bottom. Joey and I both were lucky enough to be on the bottom when all hell broke loose and I restarted. I knew, you know, Will Burton, he was bringing us to the line pretty slow, and I was like, oh, this is going to be even worse. Uh-oh, look at these highlights. Isn't this awesome? I love this sport. I'm telling you, whoever designed this new car, we should kiss them. Every weekend, it's creating drama. We have, look at that. There we go, right there, Joey, right up the inside. Here we come.
We're still way behind that.
Boy, Harvick, he seems really fast right there. But there we are. Yeah, there we are. And then we're going to get, yep, that's how it happened right there, folks. But fun weekend, fun racetrack. Love coming to this racetrack. The fans' turnout was great and you know, just a fun night of racing.
I thought it was good, Jenna. Sorry.
They're good quality fans up here in Richmond. I'm sorry that you didn't get out and enjoy them. I'm going to get out of this room every now and then.
All right, Joey.
It's a great crowd.
Not sure how you're going to follow that up, but talk a little bit about your night and your solid third place finish.
Oh, I'm just super proud of my guys. They never quit from the beginning of the weekend. I felt like our car was decent in race trim and practice, but in qualifying trim it was terrible. They threw the kitchen sink at it. We got a decent qualifying spot out of it.
What exactly does that mean?
The kitchen sink?
I mean, did they threw a sink?
Yeah. It was last year was easier to do that.
Did it hit you in any way, shape, or form? Did it
hit me?
Yeah.
The kitchen sink? No, it stayed in the car the whole time. It was in the passenger seat. But anyways,
I always wondered when you used that term, how exactly, what kind of adjustment that is.
I've never thrown anything at my car and it gets better.
Have you thrown anything at your car before?
Yeah, me too. I don't even know where it was, but anyways, sink.
Your third.
Anyway, just talking about the sink, and I'm just proud of my guys. They took a 20th place car at one point and got it back up into the top 10. And I think we're 6th or 7th for the last caution. And like Clint said, we got lucky. Starting on the inside lane, there were 4 tires, and we just pretty much followed Kevin through. And that whole inside lane was going. So if we started on the outside, it could have been a whole different story. But just proud of what we got out of that.
All right, we'll go ahead now and open for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand. Say your name and affiliation. Right? Start here. I think it's on.
Vince Montfigli, Garage Talk Live. Guys, were you hoping for a caution to come out?
I'm going to be honest, I wasn't. I was kind of content. I struggled, you know, most of the night. Had a good car, but struggled, and I thought that, you know, fourth place finish was going to be just fine with no excitement. But I had this weird feeling in my mind that it was going to come out right there at the end, and so those bad things going to happen, and it did come out at the end, but luckily for Junior and I here, bad things didn't happen.
Not Dale Junior, though.
You know, it's just Junior tonight.
Junior, okay. I every day or every race, such in situations like that, it amazes me how good all these drivers are. You know, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. And you got guys out there on old tires and guys with stickers. And
how many wrecks? Probably give that same interview right now.
He probably wouldn't, but no. I mean, no one actually wrecked, so that's pretty impressive to me after all that.
Yes.
All right. Additional questions downstairs? Okay. Go to Billy.
So after Joey, after you saw Billy Fallon top of the fetch. Joey, after you saw Bradley was still in there, were you at all nervous about your own engine?
I didn't even ask what happened. I know early in the race he had some damage, and then he was coming back up there, and then I see him on pit road or whatever, and I didn't even ask. I was just kind of focused on my own race there. So that's the first I've heard of it, to be honest with you. So we'll have to look into it and see what happened. But I know these Ford motors have been strong throughout the year, and Doug Yates has been giving us some solid power that's been staying together. So knock on wood, and hopefully we'll go into Talladega the same thing.
All right, we'll go to Jim Utter.
Jim Utter, Charlton Over. For both of you guys, were you surprised so many people elected to pit on the last caution? And did you, each of you, had your minds made up what you were going to do?
No, I didn't have my mind made up. I'm glad that Patty, that gets paid to have his mind made up, had his mind made up, and it was the correct answer because, man, I'm telling you, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't in that situation. Literally, I mean, you know, if you stay out and you know, you're in the top five and 10 of them stay out behind you, you're fine. But it's just, it's a little bit of a crapshoot. I mean, look at Burton. What place was he in before that? Anybody know?
He was right behind me, which was, before the caution came out.
You were sixth.
Was that sixth?
So he was seventh. That would be seventh.
Or was I fifth?
No, you were sixth because I was fourth, Kenseth, and then you.
Yeah.
But you were sixth.
I was sixth. He finished fourth, so it worked out for him.
Yeah.
He didn't win, but he's better than where he was.
He bettered his position. He did good.
Yeah.
Apparently, he didn't even know what place he was going to finish. I had it all figured out.
I knew I could see the
front. And then the caution came out. Can we leave now?
All right. Hang tight. 1 second.
11th. Yeah. We passed a lot of cars in a couple laps.
Yeah.
We were booked.
Actually, no, it was just one corner, bum.
Yeah,
one corner we passed a lot of cars. A lot happened down there in that corner. I went from ninth to second. He went from, well, Jenna, they all washed up. Tony got pissed, and they all kind of crashed but saved it, and we went to the front. That's exactly how I saw it. I think he got run over. His car looked destroyed. And he was shaking his head when he went by me.
I did not piss anybody off tonight. Holy crap.
What are you telling me?
All right, any additional questions for Clint? Okay, let's go to the back.
It's Mark Davis, NBC12 here in Richmond. Can you just both individually talk about what makes Richmond so unique and how it can be so unpredictable here on the short track?
I mean, it's a short track racing at its best, but it's just big enough. You still get that sensation of speed. I mean, you're cutting a pretty good clip around here, but, you know, you can still beat and bang on each other and you know, have a good Saturday night short track event. And I've always said, you know, the last couple races here have really kind of disappointed me because this track has so much to offer as a product of racing. You know, a couple times we haven't seen it, but man, let me tell you, once those cautions start coming out at this place, I think you see all you want to see. I did. I was wanting it to be over.
Yeah, I think, you know, the tires wear out, you know, brings a lot of strategy in the race, and I think that, you know, big sweeping front straightaway is inviting for people to dive bomb in the corner.
Well, you dove bomb me on the straightaway on the back, so
I was there, my friend.
You were in on the apron.
Well, I was there when you came down on the apron, senior.
All right.
Oh, buddy, old pal.
All right, we will end with Jenna up front.
You're way down there.
Jenna Fryer, AP. Clint, you talked about the new car, whoever designed it. Do you think it's really the car that's
Well, I told him I had it. You know, I told him what I thought about it and you know, had a lot to do with the input of the race car. Yeah. No. But the teams, the manufacturers, you know, there's just so many good qualities that this car has done for our sport. Just manufacturer identity. I mean, that's huge. These cars need to look like the cars that people are driving to the racetrack, and I feel like come a long ways in that direction. You know, that's first and foremost. And then look at the racing. I mean, we haven't seen racing like this in years since I've, you know, first started in this sport. It was kind of this way.
when you can leave a racetrack and there's people that are, you know, in tears because they won and in tears because they got crashed, I mean, that's you know, it's because that's what brings us to the racetrack, that kind of, you know, racing and determination and you know, passion.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously changed it, and then, you know, you look at, you know, like Clint said, about every single race has been entertaining and crazy, and especially the finish of them, and I think even if the caution didn't come out at the end, still to watch Harvick with the tires and go through the field, I think that was still a good race, but the caution obviously added so much to the racer strategy, and then, you know, obviously all the bumping and banging that comes in short track racing, so... you know, I think the car has done a great job, and like Clint said, they look awesome. You know, I think all of them look great, and you know, and they have put on a good race, so we don't really have anything to complain about. And you know, obviously, I think a lot comes with the cambered rear end housings and the lighter cars and all that makes them a little bit easier to drive. But lets us push a little bit harder, and I think that brings on the better race.
All right, Clint, Joey, congratulations on your finishes tonight.
We just ended on a serious note.
You did.
Way to go. Who asked that question?
And there you have the post-race press conference with second-place driver Clint Bowyer and third-place driver Joey Logano. See, it was a fun outing. They were picking on Jenna Fryer of the Associated Press there, and... one of the things they were commenting on, they were watching a replay on the monitor in the press room there, and when Clint was saying, that's how it's done. And, of course, Joey Logano, for one, says, a mess happened and it wasn't because of him this week. So it seemed like a fun one. I figured I wanted to play it all for you. And next one coming up right now is... Kevin Harvick with Gil Martin and Richard Childress, your winner, crew chief, and car owner. So if you want, I'll take some questions if you want after that. You can give me a call at 646-649-1899. And I hope you're enjoying this one. I had fun at the track and was able to bring all this stuff to all of you Garage Talk Live listeners out there. So here's the final press conference of the night with your winner, driver of the number 29, Chevrolet SS for Richard Childress Racing.
He has struggled, you know, the last two or three years, and I really thought he was going to win that race. He drove his ass off to keep Harvick behind him, and that was his race. You know, it was unfortunate. I've seen it happen to Truex, my teammate, you know, a few times here. And it's when you see a guy getting beat up and have an opportunity like that, I mean, it's, you know, we're all human. You want to, if you don't have a shot at it, you just as soon see somebody that hadn't won in a long time. You know, so I was happy that he ran well and, you know, felt bad that he didn't get the win. That was after my shot at winning was surpassed. Okay, make that clear.
Take that back. That was a follow-up question with Clint Bowyer on Juan Montoya falling a little short. Now we have the winner for you.
Toyota Owners 400 here at Richmond International Raceway. We welcome Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 29 Bell Helicopter Chevrolet, the winner of tonight's race. Kevin, this is your first victory of 2013 and 20th victory in 439 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series races. Just talk a little bit about those last few laps out there tonight.
Yeah, you know, it was, Gil tell you the same thing. It's, we've been on the wrong side of those decisions a few times this year, and to be, you know, sitting there seventh on four tires, and the only other guy on four tires sitting on the outside was, you know, I felt like if I could get by the row in front of me and felt like, you know, the guys on no tires were sitting ducks, but it all worked out, and we were fortunate to have it all line up, and you know, I drove it in there and hoped for the best and figured 4, 8, 12, whatever was on the outside, tire-wise, would be plenty to lean on. And by the time we got to the back stretch, everything had cleared out.
joining Kevin up here tonight is crew chief Gil Martin. Gil, talk a little bit about the exciting race from your standpoint tonight.
Well, I mean, I was kind of surprised how tight we were starting the race. We probably made more adjustments tonight on the car than we've made in any race in a couple of years. But it was right when it needed to be. But, I mean, for those of you who have been around here for a long time, that restart by him was that was vintage Kevin Harvick. That was a really, really good restart right there. That was exciting to watch.
Also joining us is car owner Richard Childress. Richard, obviously a very exciting race for everyone involved tonight. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts about sitting up here with this win tonight with Kevin and Gil.
And, you know, like I heard one, I think Kevin said earlier, we've been there all year long right at the we've had fast cars, but we couldn't. It seemed like something didn't go our way. And but tonight it did, and like Gil said, that was vintage Kevin Harvick. When they dropped that green, he just found the hole, drove it through there, made it happen, and won the race. I think everyone, even the 29 team, was probably pulling for Burton, but at the end of the night, when he got up there, we're all pulling for Kevin and Jeff to be right there with him. It was a good night for RCR.
All right, well, let's take questions. Please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start right here to the right.
This is my Big League Garage Talk Live. Kevin, before the caution came out, you were creeping in on Montoya's lead. Do you think if it stayed green, you would have been able to get him?
I don't think so. My car had lost drive up off the corner. And, you know, I think one thing that led to being so confident in my car on that last restart was our car had been really good on restarts for four or five laps, which is kind of what we lacked last night. But tonight the car would turn, it would do all the things I wanted to, and I could be really aggressive with it on the restart. So I think the restart I had a better shot to win starting seventh than I did. I don't think I was going to catch Montoya because he had a little bit better drive up off the corner at that point.
Okay, we'll take our next question here in the middle from Stan.
Stan Creekmore with RPM tonight. Gil, what about you? As you watched those laps running down before the caution, did you think you had any chance at the victory?
Well, I mean, before that last caution came out, I mean, we were able to get to the 42, but the laps were kind of leveling out. And tonight was kind of a weird deal for Richmond. It seemed like the cars were getting a narrow push here. So the moment that you started getting with about five car lengths of somebody, it seems like the advantage that you had on tires or lap time advantage that you had kind of just went away. It diminished as soon as you got close to them, and then you would have to stay on them for several laps. And the laps were winding down so fast that it was going to Montoya was going to have to make a mistake, I think, for us to get by him at that point.
All right. We'll take our next question up front from Bob here to the right.
Bob Hocker, Story News, I guess, for Kevin and Gil. I mean, how big is this win for you guys? Just like looking at, you know, kind of the psyche of you and the team. I mean, you had only one top 10 this year, so I can't imagine. I have to imagine you were a little bit frustrated, even if you had speed.
Yeah, we've had speed, and we were frustrated. I think all of us were frustrated, not just myself and Gil, but I think everybody on our team. You can talk to your blue in the face about, you know, your car's running good, but, you know, the people like you guys look at the results on Monday and the points, and they weren't you know, where we thought we should be. And I think a win goes a long ways, and we have a really busy testing schedule. We haven't really tested any of the racetracks that we've run at yet. So we have a busy schedule and a winning race and all the things that come with tonight will lead towards guys not being as aggravated to go test and do the things that we have to go do here over the next month. Yeah.
I mean, the frustration is there. I mean, when you have a fast car, we've come down to the end of the races to where it seems like we had cars that could run in the top five easily in the top ten. And some of the decisions that I've made at the end of the race, thinking that it was going to be the right one, this has been one of the most difficult years for making decisions. If a final caution comes out in the last 10 or 15 laps and you're within 6th to 12th place, it's no man's land because there's so many cars on the lead lap now. There's 30 cars on the lead lap that you're sitting there 8th. If you pit, a lot of them don't pit. You lose track position. If you don't pit, everybody pits. They have the tire advantage. So we've been on the wrong end of that. And So we've got to be more aggressive on that. And tonight we were, and it paid off for us.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been through a lot. So it's not like, you know, I can sense when he's frustrated. He knows when I'm frustrated. And it's not something that you take personal. I mean, by the time you get to Monday, I mean, even on the weekends, I mean, you know, you're frustrated. And by the time you get to Monday, he's working in the shop. And, you know, you just got to let it go. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it at that point. So you got to try to make the best out of it for the next week.
Okay, we'll go up top to the press box for three questions. Go ahead.
Lee Spencer, Fox Sports. Kevin, at the start of the season, you said despite the fact that you'd be leaving at the end of the year not to count you guys out. I mean, is this just, you know, you said vintage Kevin Harvick, but if you talk about your relationship and everything and how you guys have kind of kept it together, you know, it's just this a sign that you'll be able to do that till the end of the season?
Outside of the results, I feel like we've done that every week. I feel like, you know, our cars have performed well. I feel like we're getting better. You know, with some things coming down the road. So, you know, it doesn't feel like it's any different than any other year has been, other than, I mean, you know that's at the end of the year, everybody knows what's going on. But in the end, we all have big egos, and we want to be competitive, and we want to win races and do the things that it takes to go out there and fulfill that feel that you like, whether it's in victory lane and you know how much work that everybody puts in, and it's just there's a lot of responsibility that comes with a lot of things to the sponsors and people and the organization, and it's just, you know, it takes too much work to be mad, because at this point you're racing week in and week out, you're testing and you're trying to relay the information, and they're trying to, you know, to go through everything to make it better. It's just it's just a lot of work, and I know everybody makes a big deal out of what you're going to do next year, but man, I'm next year so far away right now that you you're week to week. You're like, you know, what are we working on this week? What track are we going to? What do we do to make it better? And just you just try to do that week after week, and you lose track of time, you lose track of everything that's going on, because you're so buried in what we do on a week to week basis.
Mike Hemby from Speed.com. Kevin, even though you had fresh tires, there was probably 100 different things could have happened those last couple of laps. Did you feel like you had to get to the front in those first couple of turns if you were going to get to the front?
Well, we had 99 of those things go wrong in 8 weeks, so we got one right this week. But I mean, everybody was going to be aggressive at that point, because nobody really knew. You knew you had, what was there, three cars up front that didn't pit, right? So you had three cars that were going to be pretty much in the way, you know, compared to the guys on tires. So you didn't know if it was going to be one green-white checkered or two green-white checkered. So you had to go and be as aggressive as you thought you could be without, you know, taking yourself out of the race. And fortunately, we were able to have it all line up for us tonight. So you just kind of have a plan in your mind and try to play it out.
Brian Bolanski, RacingWire.info. Richard, you mentioned how everybody was probably pulling for Jeff coming up to that last green-white checker. Considering how that team has struggled, how important is a finish like tonight for them and their psyche moving forward?
Well, he was big. You know, they've really struggled the last little bit. And being in a position just to win a race and knowing you were kind of a sitting duck, but, you know, if he could have helped off and got the white flag, caution came out, he could have won the race. But we knew that the guys with the new tires were really going to be coming, and I'm just glad one of our cars won.
Okay, we'll come back down to the media center. We'll go Vince, then Jenna.
Guys, Vince Bonfigli, Garage Talk Live. When I was trying to figure out the Clint and Joey earlier were talking about the Gen 6 and how it's been fun to race again, and do you feel like it's put more in the driver's lap and make it more fun for you guys to drive a car again as opposed to the way it was a few years ago?
Well, they're definitely not edgy like the cars used to be. You got enough downforce on the cars to where you can manipulate the car, whether it be with the brake or the throttle. And even if you're manipulating it with the brake like you do a lot here, you can slide the car in the corner.
and modulate the brake and the throttle to get the car up coming up off the corner. But there's still a lot of unknowns. I think that's kind of what makes it fun is you know, we have this, we call it a delta to change our car from practice to the race to the adjustments that we think we need. And we applied those tonight, and we were not as close as we would have wanted to be. So we know coming back, and everybody will get better when they come back, because it looked like everybody was fighting a lot of the same problems. So it's interesting. It's fun. You know, in the car, when you have enough downforce on the car, you can be ultra aggressive with it and do things like we did tonight on the restart and not worry about the car just spinning out and wrecking into somebody when you're underneath another car. So that's a good thing.
Okay, we'll take our next question up front from Jenna. That was kind of my question. Do you think that the racing is better this year?
I think in a lot of places it's been a lot better. I think it's been, obviously, I think there's you know, a few different places. How you doing? Got to go potty. What was your question again?
I asked if you think the racing is
better.
And why?
Well, I think that the racing is better just for the fact that you can be more aggressive with the cars. I think last year when you have the spoiler was short, you know, it's hard to be aggressive with those cars because they're so edgy, and you don't have a lot of confidence in racing side by side. I feel like I could drive my car in 10 miles deep and do what I have to do on the inside of another car and not have to worry about spinning out and wrecking. So I think that goes a long ways. I think there's still you know, a few things here and there, whether it be the super speedways, you know, that everybody wants to see. How the racing is at Talladega next week, you know, compared to how it was at Daytona. So there's still some unanswered questions, but I think all in all, it's been a huge success so far, and so that's good.
Okay, we'll take our next question right here from Stan.
You guys asked me more questions.
Stan, drink more with RPM again.
This is the last one.
This question is for Richard. I'm going to wait till he pays attention. Richard, in all the years that I've watched you, winning a championship has always been, you know, your number one desire in everything. And I watched you at the start of this year as we headed into Daytona and everything, and it looked, despite everything that everybody knows, that you felt especially good with this team. I know they've struggled some, but do you still see that capability? Do you see more than we see that they have a chance to go from the win tonight to a championship? No, sir, I'm not. I ask him what he's thinking.
No, that's a good question, Stan. Yeah, you know, starting the year off, we know we've made a lot of changes at RCR. We've, you know, we're rolling, you know, for the win, and hired a lot of really good people, smart people, and I think we got a great shot of winning that championship this year, and we just got to be there at the end of the day. They're not easy to win. Championships aren't, but that's the one thing I want to accomplish, and this could be the year, and I think we got everyone working in the right direction, and hopefully we'll be in Vegas smiling big.
All right. Gentlemen, congratulations on your win tonight, and we appreciate your time. Thank you.
And there you have the winner's press conference. A little bit of a distraction going through there. Some little tyke came wandering across the front of the press room right by the stage where Harvick and Childress and Gil Martin were sitting. And due to the fact there's only two bathrooms in the building, one was at the back end of the main press room and one in the photo lounge, I should say. And the kid decided, you know, kid was heading to the bathroom. That's why I heard Kevin Harvick asking him if he had to go potty. But it wasn't an inside joke. It was just something that happened that way. But hey, nothing you could do. First time covering Richmond. Had a blast. Hope you enjoyed the press conferences. I played them in their entirety. I got a few questions off with Mr. Harvick and one off for Joey and Clint that they both sort of seemed able to answer. And it seemed to be a good night for all except for Tony Stewart. Nobody out in the parking lots got injured due to something that carried over from an on-track incident. So all was well that night. I tell you, I slept pretty good that night. A lot of walking during the day, from Saturday and Sunday, and turned out to be a fun race. So NASCAR going on to Talladega this coming weekend, so we'll see what happens. Can Danica return to form and get herself another pole and maybe run good on a restrictor plate track, or was Daytona a fluke? We'll wait and see there. I know Harvick has a pretty good record at Talladega as well. So does Tony Stewart. Seems to be a track there that if you're in the right place at the right time, and some people learn how to drive that a little quicker than others, they can have a good finish or take the checkered flag there. Little drag race in action. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Spring Nationals at the Royal Purple Raceway in Houston. Funny car around was Cruz Pedregon defeating with a 4.246 ET and 296 miles an hour, defeating Tim Wilkerson at a 6.9. It's pretty slow for funny car stuff. I guess Wilkerson spun the tires. Top fuel was Bob Vandergriff Jr. First time I've seen his name in the winner's circle, and following this for a few years, defeated Sean Langdon 3.904 at 316 to 3.975. at 275 miles an hour. Carson would be running a little slower in Texas than some of the other places. Pro Stock, Jason Line of Mooresville, in the Summit Racing Camaro at a 6.544, 211.99 miles an hour, defeated Shane Gray with a 6.589. And Pro Stock Motorcycle, Hector Aranda Jr., his second consecutive with a 6.912 over Scotty Polacek with a 6.985 at 188 miles per hour. So that's wrapping up the sixth race of the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series. Seemed like they ran faster when they're on full throttle energy drink. I don't know. Maybe it's me. But if you want to throw it out to the audience there. If you want to give me a call, it's 646-649-1899. NASCAR going to Texas this coming weekend. Let's see, maybe I'll to make my pick for there before we sign off. I think I'm going to go with... I don't know. It's going to be a tough one. Now, I'm going to pick the guy who's been running good of late. Sat on the pole this week, won last week, and got severely penalized. And I'm going to go with... I was going to go with Kenseth. I changed my mind just right now. I'm going to go with the number two Ford Fusion, Brad Keselowski. He got his first Sprint Cup win there against Carl Edwards, and that was a wild little finish there with Edwards in the air. And then I'll leave it at that. So if you want to add your pick to the list, go to facebook.com/GarageTalkLive and post your pick there. And I guess we'll see you all next week. We'll wrap up the race there. We'll book some guests. I have an interview that I'm going to tape this Wednesday of an IndyCar driver. I'm not going to give you his name because last time I made the announcement, I didn't... I didn't get the interview because he had something come up with the team. So I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thank you for joining me here on Garage Talk Live. Don't forget, we have Garage Talk Live presents Low Down and Dirty tomorrow night at 8 with Ed Whippy and Scott Deal and Joey Adams hosting that show there. And they're talking dirt track action. And then Thursday nights you have... Girls Getting the Facts with Tammy and Amy. So we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night, good racing, and we'll see you then.